Let me start with the text that you find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child that Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. And this is what we are going to focus on today. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your soul, your own soul too. This is what I call a confrontational message of Christmas. It is not an easy message, but it is an important one. In a nutshell, it is saying, yes, Jesus brings peace, but before he brings peace, he brings sword. As Simeon was holding baby Jesus in his hands, and as he spoke, empowered by the Holy Spirit, he said that this child was going to cause many people to fall and many people to rise. The sword goes through your heart so that the peace can come. This reminds you and me of the words of Jesus when he said that he did not come to bring peace to the earth. He said, "I have come to bring peace, not to bring peace, but to bring sword." It's like a resounding of the words of Simeon as he was holding Jesus, baby Jesus, in his own hands. In other words, the real message today is that Jesus brings peace through the sword. And here are two main thoughts I'm going to cover today. Number one, when Jesus comes, this causes conflict between people. I'll just let this sit. When Jesus comes, this makes you uncomfortable and makes potentially people uncomfortable, and this causes conflict. That's number one. Number two, when Jesus comes, this causes conflict inside of us individually. Those are the two things I want to cover today. Once again, this is the text. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. Falling and rising of many in Israel. And to be a sign that will be spoken against. Jesus' coming polarizes people. As we said, he causes a rise and fall. And I want you to see that there is no place in between. So many people are trying to position themselves in the middle in relation to this question, but it is impossible. You either rise or you fall, and there is no place in between. There's no man's land. Why? Why does the coming of Christ cause a division among people? What is it about him that causes that? What causes people either to fall or to rise as a result of him coming. This is what I believe is the case. There is a challenge that he poses. There is, you could almost say, an unattractiveness of many of his claims and his statements about which you have to make a decision. And your decision will be making you to either fall or to rise. Think about some of those. The whole tenor of the gospel, when you read the gospel stories, is this. Jesus says, you belong to me. You belong to me through creation, and you belong to me through redemption. And if you will, I own you. I woo you unto myself. And you can choose to be brought in, or you can choose to reject me. Now, you can't be neutral about this. This is a huge claim. And you are to either reject it or you are to accept it. There's another one. So many people struggle with the problem of sin, with the problem of guilt, with the problem of failure, with the problem of not rising up to certain standards in their life, and after that they feel guilty. They don't know what to do with their guilt. It is a basic human need to be resolved of guilt, to be resolved of sin. And Jesus says, I forgive your sins. A basic human need and a basic human problem. Who is he that he can do that? It's a massive statement. It's a massive claim. And people around are either going to accept it or to reject it. There's another one. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So in other words, he says, loving me is natural, is something that I want to naturally rise within your life as you experience my love. But it is not optional. Keeping my commandments, because you love me, is also not optional. And again, it's a big statement, it's a big claim that he has. And once again, when you hear the claim, you understand how big it is. You either have to accept it, or you're going to reject it. There is no place in between. There is no neutral position. He's either going to cause you to fall, or he's going to call you to rise. His statements, his claims are of such a nature that you either fall or you rise. This baby, Simeon is saying, is going to do this. On another occasion, Jesus says, if your hand or eye keeps you away from me, cut it off. He says, I am more important than your hand that causes you to sin, or your eye that causes you to sin. What a huge statement. And you will try to wiggle your position to be neutral about it, to sit somewhere in the middle, because claim is huge. Jesus says, doesn't work that way. I came to cause you either to fall or to rise. There is no such a place as no man's land or neutral place. So, the enormity of that statement is going to make you either reject what he's asking or to accept what he's asking. And there's no wiggling in into some middle position on this. There's another one. He says, abide in me and abide in my love. Then he says, if you don't, I will cut you off. There's attractiveness of it, but there is extreme seriousness of it. And he says, if you don't, you will be cut off. This child will cause many either to fall or to rise. Nothing in the middle. Once again, you can only accept it or you can reject it. If you have me, Jesus says on another occasion, you will sit on the throne beside me. If you don't, you will be lost like a chaff in the wind. Do you get that? This child will cause many to fall and many to rise. Nothing in between. You see, Jesus polarized people with his coming because of the unattractiveness of many of his statements. But at the same time, because of the beauty of who he was. You see, it is one thing to make outrageous statement, but it is quite another thing to back it up through who you are and what you do. Who was he? These are outlandish, huge, massive statements that Jesus made during his life. He said, "I am a good shepherd." And he's not talking to animal sheep, yeah? He's talking to you and me. And he says, "I basically have a claim on your life, and I offer myself to be your guide throughout your life. I am a good shepherd." Then he would say, "I am the vine." And he talks about this intimate relationship and such an incredible dependence that you have on him as God. What a statement. "I am the vine." He would say, "I am the resurrection." Who hasn't been here at a funeral and saw the inevitability of how life ends? And he makes a statement. And he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." Whoa. We see, it's one thing to say something, but what about backing it up? The only person who ever lived and could back up his perfect life and his incredible statements was him. Because there was no disease that he could not heal. He calmed the storm. He calmed the waves on a raging lake. Imagine him saying, "Peace be still." And I can imagine that the wind dies down, because wind can die down quickly. But how do you make waves stop in their tracks? You have never seen that. Neither have I. But he can do that. He raised the dead. He resurrected himself. So his outlandish statements are matched by two realities: by the reality of who he is, and by the reality of awesome things that he has done. Now, the beauty of who he was and what he did comes with the challenge of his claims on our lives. There is both beauty and the sword coming together in the person of Christ. Because of radical nature of his claims on you and me, people reject the radical nature of his beauty. Shall I say that again? Because of the radical nature of his claims on you and me, so often us or people can reject the radical nature of his beauty. Many people try to be lukewarmly religious and committed, and Jesus Christ is not the central thing of their lives, and he's not part of their everyday decision that they make. And if this is the case, if they are trying to position themselves somewhere in the middle, rather than recognize the radicalness of his claim upon their life, they will fail, and we will fail. That's why he said he did not come to bring peace, but to bring sword. Or he says, I bring peace through sword. As a Christian, you can go through life submitting every aspect of your life to him. And if this is not the case, Jesus you believe in is a myth. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. That's number one reality. So I want you to recognize this. Jesus had huge following, but he had a huge opposition led by Satan himself, and therefore was led to the cross of Calvary. He had a huge claim on people, but was rejected by many. Many fell, but many rose. You and I live one life. And please don't live your life trying to position yourself somewhere in the middle. It won't work. Sooner or later, you will live a life either the one whom Jesus raised to live beautifully and gloriously following him, or you will fall. Don't fool yourself that there is place in the middle. There isn't. But on another hand, while he came to cause a division, if you will, amongst the people because of the claims that he had, at the same time, he comes to cause a conflict within you and me individually, within us personally. Angel said, in fact, it was Simeon who said to Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul. You see, Mary stands as a representation of all who love Jesus. If you love him, a sword will pass through your own soul too. Jesus brings a sword and divides our heart. Something has to die. Look what it says, the original text that we read. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. A new fight comes into our lives with the coming of Jesus. The peace does not come without a conflict. Now, the question is this. How does real peace come to you and me? How does it come? Peace comes through repentance. What is repentance? The sword feels like it. It feels like a surgeon's knife. It first cuts, then the healing starts. It's like antiseptic. It first stings, then it heals. That's why we always say that the best place you can come to is the foot of the cross. And so many people, when they come to the foot of the cross, they cry. There is a sting, but then the healing comes. The only way to receive peace is to go through the pain of repentance. So there is no way to get to peace without going through the pain. Let me just, in wrapping up, talk about something important. Talk about the beauty of the gospel. Through Jesus, anyone can find God. In other words, I'm going to talk about the beauty of the gospel, but also the uncomfortable part of the gospel. And we need to embrace both in order to be the followers of Christ. Here is the good news part. Anyone can come to God through Jesus. How? It's simple. This baby Jesus that Simeon was holding in his hand, as he started growing, he lived absolutely, lovingly, perfect, amazing, beautiful life that no person ever in the past, in the present, in the future is going to live. He lived up to a lofty standard of a holy and loving God. That was Jesus. Why? For what purpose did God do that? So that incarnate God became human and God at the same time, so that this baby Jesus who would grow up and turn and live a perfect life, for what purpose? His only purpose is this one, that Jesus would apply this perfect, amazing, beautiful, loving, gracious life, truthful life, at the point of him dying on the cross, as he was bleeding, he would apply that perfect life to you and me to cover us. Because sin has caused a rift and an absolute separation from God and final death. And through Christ and his perfect life, we can become brought back to life. So God therefore treats us as Jesus. And so what does that mean practically? What it means that you accept it not on the basis of your life record, but on the basis on Jesus' record. And you are treated as if you accomplished all that Jesus accomplished. How good is that? That's the good news. That is the gospel. That is amazing. All of us come to a conclusion that this is too easy. This is crazy. This is not. What do I do? You just receive it. You just accept it. That's the good news part. But how do you receive it? What's the entry? And that's where the sting and sword comes, through repentance. What is it? Repentance is a sword. For the soul, what is it? It is admitting that you have done many bad things in life. And painfully, you admit this to God. Number one. Number two, you admit not only what you have done, but that very source of who you are is contaminated. And there is nothing that you can do about it. That you are selfish, that you are sinful. And there is nothing you can do to change that. That's a painful admission of who you in essence are. And that you admit that you can't change anything about it. It's kind of a total damnation. And therefore what you need is total forgiveness of God and the power of from above to change. So you seek God's mercy on which your life totally depends. How does this feel? To admit that you're not a saint, but a wretched sinner. And you are painfully, painfully, painfully aware of it. How does it feel to admit that in essence, you are sinful and selfish? How does it feel to admit that you cannot change, you can't change your heart? It's a sting that when you look at the cross, and that you look at who you are in essence, is what caused the most perfect human being to hang on that cross. And that only Him crucified and His power can bring about a change. The only way for peace to come is to allow the sword of a surgeon to sting and pierce your heart. Sword cuts and hurts, and healing always follows the sting. And at the end, let me just finish with this. There are two stings of pain, and I want you please to focus on this now. I need to hear it myself again. And you are accidental hearers. But please stay with me just for another minute. There are two stings of pain we feel. Number one is pain of repentance that we spoke about. But I want to just say a word on number two, and that is the pain of obedience. There will be many times when you will know that you are at the crossroad of your life. Deep down you know it. It can be a little thing in life or it can be a big thing in life. Doesn't matter. Because you know that you are naked before your God, okay? You know that. And these crossroads will come your way so many times in life. And you are not standing before other person, you know deep down that you are standing before God. And your choice is this, to choose a comfortable option or to choose obedience option. Shall I just pause for a minute for you to think about it? So many times in your life, you will go today maybe many times, tomorrow again, and next day, you'll stay at the crossroad to choose either an easy option or to choose the obedience option. And mind you, we are not talking that disobedience has anything to do with the way you are saved. But it is to do with following Christ and having peace in life and choosing harder options so that you can have a true peace in life. Comfortable option is disobedience option. An obedience option is sword, painful, difficult, but it is the road to peace. To obey in the short run is the way of conflict. Simeon was holding a baby Jesus in his hands. And he said, this baby will cause many to fall and cause many to rise. He became a cause of a separation of many people at that time when he came. He is the cause of separation in today's world too. The way of conflict before the peace comes is through repentance. Admitting to Him your sins, the sinfulness of your human heart, an impossibility for you to change as you don't possess that power. And as you totally cling on His mercy and grace for that change. But then, when the change comes, and when you are called to follow Him, He will ask you not to choose an easy option, but to choose the harder one, as that one will bring you peace. This is an uncomfortable message of Christmas. And I pray that God will give us a true peace that comes with the one who has come to make us rise rather than make us fall. Amen.